George will have his NBA minute a little bit later. I want to give you a little nugget before you get there. I'm sure you'll talk about the Bulls and how aggressive they are, and they've got a plan, and what they did yesterday in acquiring DeMar DeRozan. With what's going on in San Antonio, if I'm looking at the roster correctly, Doug McDermott, at the age of 29, is the oldest player on the Spurs roster.
Oh, wow. Dougie, the vet.
Wow. At 29 years old.
Wow.
I think that was a deal with DeRozan ending up in Chicago that will turn out to be good for both sides.
I think so, too. I really think so.
A lot of excitement. The Bulls haven't made the playoffs since 17. They have been aggressive. They got a plan.
Yep.
DeRozan ball to add a little Levine. Mm-hmm. Now they can play a little defense. They should be okay in Chicago.
I'm a little nervous.
They should be one of the top eight teams. They're still in the back end of that eight, but they're still – but they definitely are built to be in the playoffs.
Yep, got a coach too.
Ooh. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. We will discuss more of the free agency and the old guys that are now going to be wearing purple and gold. It is the 30-something crew that will be playing in the Staples Center for the LA Lakers. Scott Shanley joins us here in a little bit. Ask this question going into the break. Today is practice number 5 in Lincoln. There was some media availability in terms of watching practice. Parker Gabriel was there. He'll be alongside a little bit later on to share his observations. But they're still not in full pads. That comes tomorrow. But throughout the last week, there have been a lot of, I want to win. I just want to win. I just want to go to a bowl game. I want to close this out the right way. No huge statement of how important this season is. That's just kind of a given. That's kind of a given. I would think as a competitor, and I've gone 3 years where I've been frustrated and I haven't been winning, and maybe I don't know why, or I do know why, it's your job to fix it, whether you're in a helmet or a headset. Because it's go time. It's go time. But the thing about winning, and winning is hard, and sometimes you have to learn how to win. You can say, I want to win. We all say that in our business life, our sports life. I want to win. Yeah, we all want to win. We're competitive. We want those dubs. The L's come with it, but we want those dubs. Again, winning is the greatest drug in sports. Once you get it, you want to keep that right there on the tip of your tongue. Because when you have it and then you lose it, ooh, what an empty feeling. So we all want to win. But do we know how to win? Do we know what it takes physically and mentally to win in any part of sports or business or life? That's kind of where I think Nebraska is right now. They definitely want to win. They've wanted to win for 3 years. If you didn't want to win for 3 years, get the hell out. I don't think that's the case. I don't think anybody showed up and said, maybe a couple of guys that were here and they go, I got some nice Adidas gear. This is kind of cool. I get to run out of the tunnel. I get my name in the program. Parents get free tickets. I get an education. But people show up and they want to win. They want to win. A lot of good things when you're at Nebraska that come when you win football games. But then becomes the challenge of, can you get 150 plus guys that know how to win, to teach them how to win? Got to do this, this, and this. If you do this in December or January, it affects that you might win a football game in September, or you might win a football game in November. Do you know how, and are you teaching how properly for players to win? And then you go from, I want to win, or I hope to win, or we will win. The whole confidence thing that in certain spots on this roster I think is better. But if people know how to win, then you've crossed that barrier. That's a good thing. Oh, yes, we know how to win. Then when you're in a winning situation, what do you do with it? So this year, where you will hear a lot between now and the first game, I just want to win. I want to win. I want to win. I don't think I can remember a time, and we've taken winning for granted around here until you get stuck with the last 4 years, of openly players saying, I want to win. They're frustrated. They hear the outside chatter. That's okay. You can't put blinders on. It is what it is. You should first and foremost personally just be upset. You should be sick to your stomach. And then figure out, how do we win? Okay, now we know how to win. Let's go show what we just learned. So with this team and the opportunity to begin the year unblemished before you play arguably your toughest game of the year at Oklahoma, no slight to Ohio State, but Oklahoma, in my book, is going to win the national championship. And then you got Michigan State. That's your first month of football. Greedy, you go, Northwestern coming in, night game, 4-1. Division game, conference game, 2-0 in the conference. But what will be more of an indication during the course of the early part of the schedule? That Nebraska has figured out that they know how to win. Will it be the problem of close games, one-score games, not being able to find a way earlier in the game or in the fourth quarter to pull it out? You take control of the game. You don't wait for somebody to give you control of the game. Or will it be an indication that they know how to win is when you're expected to win? I say expected, what Vegas tells you, you go out and do it. And sometimes when you are blessed with an opponent that in Vegas on the big board, it shows up as a huge crooked number, you go out and you match that crooked number. So what is more of an indication of now we know how to win and now we are winning? The DNA of blowing teams out, dominating teams that you should be dominating, or finding a way to win. Love to have both. If you have both, that product looks very familiar of past teams. But in this case, we're talking about either or. Blowing teams out that you're supposed to beat and the spread is significantly favoring you, or to find a way to win. There aren't many times in the last 3 years where Nebraska has taken the field and they are a large favorite. Bethune-Cookman was a ridiculous number. Nebraska didn't cover and won 45-9. Same year, Illinois, well, actually, let's go back the week before Bethune-Cookman. That win against Minnesota after Nebraska had dropped the first six, they were only a five-point favorite. Hammered Minnesota. Dominated Minnesota. That Illinois game, later in that same season in November, after that five-point loss at Ohio State when Nebraska was an 18-point underdog, they were a two-touchdown and a field goal favorite against Illinois. They won 54-35. The following year, the largest spread that has been in the favor of Nebraska in the last 3 years, I'm throwing out Bethune-Cookman. South Alabama to begin that year, Nebraska was a 35-point favorite. Remember what happened in that game? Nebraska dicked around for a while and won 35-21. Then they were, after the Colorado loss, were a two-touchdown favorite against Northern Illinois, won 44-8. Went on the road, nearly a two-touchdown favorite in Champaign, won by four. A game that Adrian Martinez and Wandale Robinson had to bail Nebraska out. But since then, Nebraska hasn't been a double-figure favorite. As a matter of fact, Northwestern that same year at Maryland, a game which Nebraska was only a six-point favorite, and Nebraska dominated Maryland 54-7. That was a Maryland team that was petering out at the end of the year, and a lot of things went well early for Nebraska, and Nebraska steamrolled Maryland. Then last year in the truncated season, Minnesota and Rutgers were the only two times that Nebraska was favored. Lost by seven, won by seven. In this case, we'd like to see just pure domination. Line has come down a little bit for the opening game. Going to be around about a touchdown. Hammering a team or finding a way to win. Come out early often, put the pedal to the metal, steamroll somebody, not even a conversation post-halftime. All the things that availed Nebraska coming out of the locker room, don't even have to worry about that. You got a nice little cushion. Love that part. But for this team, to show, because I'm kind of looking between the ears, an indication of now they know how to win. It all comes back to close games. So many close games in the first 32 games in the last 3 years. A play here or there, early in the game, late in the game, middle of the game, that could have turned the game, momentum shifts, not able to get it back. Do things to yourself. When you're able to overcome those things and win close games where it's more about you than them, then that's a sign that maybe things are starting to turn. I'll always take a dominating performance where it's a program game and we're talking about hanging a 50-burger. But in this team, in games that appear tight before you ever kick off, to find a way to win football games. Find a way to win games that are going to be tight and will be a handful of plays will decide the game, or one play drastically changes the momentum in a game. Either for or against you, and you find a way to grab that momentum and take off, or you're able to rebound from some adversity in the middle of a game. That part would tell me, okay, guys say they want to win. They just want to win. Now they know how to win. Or even this part, I'll give you another part of this discussion, is games get tight. You're feeling comfortable. That 2-touchdown lead goes to a touchdown, and there's still 5 minutes to go, and you're getting the ball back, and you're not real sure about your 4-minute offense. You're able to find a way to hold on to those games. Again, a close game. Anyway, anyhow, you find a way to win. Not find a way to avoid winning or give it away, but you find a way to win. Hold on or expand. And if that's the case, and that stacks up, it can't just be one time. It has to be multiple games where you're trending. Then that's a fantastic sign for where this football team is going. Are we going to see that in the first three games? If the first three games were tight, and out of the three, the most likely would be, I believe, the opening game. But there's possibility the first three games will not be super tight if you do your work. You know, what will we learn? I'd like a tight game right out of the box. Good, well-played game, but it's a tight game. And you find a way to win right out of the chute in a game that you said we've got to win. You say you got to win, go find a way to win a football game. And then do that again later in the month of September. Back-to-back October games in Lincoln. Then you're starting to make progress. But if it's choppy and it's, hey, one type of win here and, you know, then nope, didn't that was a loss here and had a chance, then you're in the same exact spot you've been the first 3 years. All right, Scott Chandley, he's in the same exact spot. We talked to him last week. He's sitting in his kitchen in Dallas, Texas. The former Husker, former Super Bowl champion, will join us next on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.